아주 그냥 아가를 시버렸으나 이제 레군제기 남자티 다 먼저 개위레라티네 인테기티게 개위레라티네 중고래 이사다 에 동화디게 미개위레라티네 중고래 제산디다 다 동화다 대화다 동화세야디게 아니 아 갈라야 마저바 랑을 뭐네 그렇게까지 용고 말해 세상 규단 깨는데 중고래스 그래서다 일해가나에 간에 사변은 뒤에 수장비기 제부티도 니도 용고래스 세상에 누우시는 삼다제디 하고 와제 대하고네 되는랑을 시기 고스미 자와가리 제비나 디디갑라 제비갑리아 아니 되네기 고스미 자와디게 미기위 쳐서 만나와제 아니 개위 쳐서 다디 배수신 두고고래스 Dine yane yandu duş çebeyine, nyamlen çebeyine, nin dele dine, ane, masonle kevadi bak, ane, kagu oreyes, masonle tergü oreyes, ane, da şu an yinbodi, dönden yinbodi dine şişiru var.
Good afternoon. So, to briefly summarize what we looked at this morning, when we continue to look at the presentation on cause and effect, is that independence on virtuous causes, happiness follows. Independence on non-virtuous causes, suffering follows. Therefore, happiness and suffering do not exist by the way of their own nature or their own essence. They are not inherently existent. Neither happiness nor suffering is. But rather, they are dependent arisings. When one comes to recognize this and clearly see the relationship between cause and effect and dependent arising and emptiness too, one will strive wholeheartedly in the accumulation of virtue and be strong in one's determination to abandon non-virtue. And in this way, one closes the door to the possibility of rebirth in the lower realms. We will continue in the text with various quotations attributed to Kadampa Lamas from the time. So Kalungpa said, as we're in the middle page 144, or just below the top, Kalungpa said to Puchungwa, Geshe Dontongpa taught that only actions and their effects were of vital importance.
Yes, that Kamlungbegi Puchungwa la Karitsungorisne, and Geshe and Dumbegi, Dumbak and Karitnyamnichu, Le Gundigi Namshadipe, Jeshimushu Zigores, Denegi, and Denegi.
So what Kalungpa is saying to Puchungwa is that Geshe Dontumpa, he placed great importance on the presentation of cause and effect, that this is what people must come to know and put into practice.
The
reason why that this is being raised here, why Lama Tsongkhapa is quoting this conversation between Kalungpa and Puchungwa, is because we all want to achieve various goals of the Dharma, whether it's our own individual liberation from suffering, or whether we have the aspiration to enter into the bodhisattva paths and be of transformative impact on the lives of others. Whatever amongst these various goals of the Dharma we have, we require an excellent foundation, an excellent basis for training, so that we can continue to in our process of spiritual development, life after life. For that to come about, we have to ensure that we not only know, but live in accordance with this presentation on cause and effect, to ensure that we do not fall into the lower realms where we'll be lost in terms of our potential of spiritual development. Moreover, by understanding this presentation on cause and effect, will aid our accumulation of the required causes to fulfill our spiritual goals. So if we stay oblivious or disinterested in foundational trainings, the higher trainings will not come about. So this is why Trontompa stated that the presentation, knowing and living in accordance with the presentation on cause and effect, is of vital importance. The quotation continues, but nowadays explaining this, listening to it and meditating on it are considered worthless. Is this just because it is difficult to practice?
Tada sheba da nyamba da gomri mebar che de se de da pin ngar du ro si wa da se na da da ta ka shi ge de le ye gyun yo ko nyen ya le ya nyen ya da an ji gom ya yo ko le ya ri na she da ma si ba ji ge chi mu ji ne nyam ne ji yo ma de je se na da da sheba da nyamba da gomri mebar che de la ro wa se na da ma du ro de che su ge da de ka bla ne ji Kishu dumdum bigi legune be masi gechimbore nyamne yago cheo gechimbore sungor de manju gi mi kashi nga desuge da manju gi jige legune kor pa she da nye da nye je ani gomya gi besu chele ani rinna me ba chile chele gechimbo shira jigo ma res gechimbo shira ma de chede ni nyamne shira jigo ma se orda na da te kishu dumdum bigi legune be masi gechimbo jigo de Dadeng and the Midigay, Lay Gundio called a kitchen with Zigmund who's over that. Mizuanda, Nikona, Yamsulawa, Gam, Yamsum Chesang, and the Lay Gundig, Lay Gundi, Yamsulai, Lape, Lalenta, Lape, Kale, how do I say it? Sungorta.
So we see from this conversation that even in ancient times, there was people were perhaps drawn more to other teachings, not the foundational teachings, and that there was. Amongst many, a lack of interest in perhaps even explaining this, but certainly listening to teachings on this topic or engaging in meditation on this topic. People were far more drawn to other meditation topics or other topics of the Dharma. And then the question posed is this just because it is difficult to do?
And
Puchungwa then replied in the affirmative, it is just so, yes, it is difficult to put this presentation into practice. Continues, Trontompa said, and I'll just change one word. Trontompa said, followers of a teacher, great pretension is totally inappropriate. This dependence arising is subtle.
That's your pass. Then you come share me on the dang as a lady and you go and do a sixing for the shoe chip. 지교 말치다 레전드 텐테 신남샷 뱀서 참고 쉬우레스 대대지 쉬우가서 사이텐지 텐지게 레규네 남샤 텐지 저와 차신 차와디 산이코니 마도 킹이 말에 손으로 나신제다 뭐디 제가 떼어서 하고도 빼지 신고 신고도 어제 마예제다 뽑아채요 말레스 제가 되니다 내려 텐지게 남샤다 레규네 텐지 제위게 차신 차와디 빼 참모레스 제가 돼 차고 쉬우레스 오늘
Well, going back to where we started last night, to understand the subtleties of karma is something beyond ordinary beings, only something Buddhists can understand. So to have whatever understanding one has of cause and effect, to have some great pretension to be particularly puffed up about one's knowledge, thinking that one knows more than one does, this is a mistake. Rather, to approach this topic with an open curiosity, recognizing there is always more to come to understand.
And in a Pujuigi, Jenny Pujuish, and yes, many Kalkarasa, Zanlunla, Kalhansung, Sumba Dansa.
The text again. Pujunga said, In my old age, I am at last turning to the Sutra of the Wise and the Foolish.
だだ、何にしたが、あ、自己、言語ら、ちゃんと、ね、え、残念せ、どう残念、英語で、何者、損失、ど、残念、ば、と、心、ば、だね、ち、ろ、と、し、さん、だね、で、あ、自己、てがじれ、か、連携、地方、せ、で、てね、や、ん、ち、てね、英語で、何者、てね、せ、ど、せ、べ、や、ぼら、は、こ、そ、せ、る、そ、ん、ご、せ、だ。
Pochungwa is saying that even though now that he's advanced in years, he's turning to this sutra, which discusses the presentation of cause and effect in some detail. He's turning to it now at nearing the end of his life, so as to show the great importance still that we should be placing in terms of the presentation on karma. Not thinking it's something one grows out of, something that one knows and can and forget. And the final quotation, I've just changed the translation in the final sentence. And Sharawa said, The Buddha taught that whatever errors and faults come about, they should not be blamed on an inauspicious place or on the construction of some building. It is simply that, by doing this action in the past, this is produced here now.
And the Jimmy Nusim, so say Marik Badi, Tinik, Kambadan Cho, Kacho, Kacho, Tesalia, and the Sungo Mares, and the Yungo Rodi, Jesus, and Dingan, the Nishigores, San Yigi, the Sungo Marejere, San Yigi, never Karachumina, Majigi, not the Lea Karasavine, Korsu, you Karasavine, Delatin, Yungo Mato, and the Kambu Yapna, Jimmy Marida, then the Nicho Kambu Kacho, Gordon, Gorsu, Gorsu, Jimmy Maritone, and the Gaso di Sungo Mares, San Yusuni, Karsne, Lea, and Lea Karchevene, the Devu, then Sungo Rejere, that the Yungo Rodi, San Yigar Sungo, and Jimmy, Jibu, the Yungo Mares, and the Tingin Yung, 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 young body, such some word. She then Anjou Gabriel Garso, oh, that you know, the Garso, Kira Kamu Japan, Jimmy Dune, young said, Ligi Mundesita, Kabu Dus Kalo, the Kadus Giri said, the Negang of the Chitimbana Jonajoro Adi, and the Tapa Mares, or Dandala, Sanji getting the Sumio Mares, said Nadinigi, the Jusu Tetang and Beresha, Jusu and Beresha, Sada, and Dinigi Cho, Jimino Sada, Kamba Japan, Jimino Sada, and the Odusine, Delia, Mariba di Delia, Kayoya Yomares.
This quotation from Sharawa is pointing to when things go wrong, people point to many reasons, but all too often they ignore the primary reason, which is a cause and effect, causes created in past lives lead to results experienced now. And they may well want to point to something about a building built facing the wrong direction or an inauspicious date and give overemphasis to this kind of thing. When the Buddha didn't teach about these topics, what he taught about is cause and effect. That if one is experiencing a particular result, this came from causes accumulated in the past. So, for example, one's financial situation, this is dependent on causes created in the past, such as and causes such as generosity. So, therefore, people all too often want to look at, again, going with the illustration, on inauspicious directions or inauspicious dates and place emphasis on that, ignoring what the Buddha actually taught, which is cause and effect.
Is that on the jigging under the swing shares you're writing on the baby? Now that he malle hit regular. Number Kusum says, Number Kusum said, Number Rikan chances Ku Tango Kunyam the Sumgo, Nimichil, Chungiman at the Oliver, Number Kusum said. Is that did you say the Nimitile, Number Kusum said? Good Nimichil, Tusichil, Zumgores, Chenadil and Amber Kusum, so Amber Kusum, some together says rather than Amber Kusum Gores, Chenadim de Kevachi Ayomares, Casor Kao to Ayomarela Gore.
So there's an expression in the Himalayan regions that problems come in nines. So I think we say something similar, maybe, but with threes. But problems come in nines. And so there's no talk when one is having problems raining down upon oneself about cause and effect, but one just puts it off, problems come in nines, and therefore we're having a bit of a rough time of it right now.
Got
back a little wrong. So there's something about there's a particular day where we have it on the calendar. It's like nine or inauspicious omens or something like this. So there's in terms of this day. It's like, oh, whatever we do will go wrong, so therefore let's do nothing, let's just have a holiday. And so every year at this date, then we have a holiday, not thinking about cause and effect and whether it's still relevant in any way, but on this date of nine inauspicious omens, we just do nothing because the belief whatever we do will go wrong.
And then,
So His Holiness has said explicitly he doesn't believe in this kind of thing at all. And in fact, he said the previous incarnation of Ling Rinpoche was born on this particularly inauspicious day. So how can we place any faith in these kinds of systems? So astrologers come up with these dates and systems, and so perhaps to counteract this day of nine bad omens, there's a day of 13 auspicious signs. And His Holiness also jokes, as Tibetans, we put so much faith in these wealth practices such as Zambala, but I look amongst my fellow Tibetans, I don't count a single billionaire, but in our world there are many hundreds of them, and I bet none of them have made a single offering to Zambala. The meaning of what is being said here is that wealth comes from generosity, and if those causes of from generosity have not been created, whatever endeavors one engages in to create wealth will not be successful. Those causes have to be there to enjoy the results. So it's into cause and effect where we should place our trust and our attention. These other practices such as Zambala, it's not that they are worthless or deceptive. They have a role to play in that. They can lead to the ripening of causes. But if those causes have not been accumulated, no matter what prayers and aspirations and practices one does, one is not going to attain the required results. The causes have to be accumulated for the result to follow. People certainly do put energy into Zambala practices, and they may well bear success in dependence on not just the practice, but the causes created in the past. But with this, perhaps it betrays, in some, a focus on this life's results, this life's success, this life's pleasures, and not a focus on accumulating the causes now for the success of future lives. And the Dharma is supposed to be used to lift our focus from the pleasures and problems of this life to striving to achieve spiritual goals in lives beyond this. So it is quite possible that if someone is focusing on material success through Dzambala practice, they'll actually have lost the focus and the point of the Dharma. If one has accumulated good causes from generosity in the past, and one does practice such as Dzambala to ripen those causes, it is likely to be successful. The key meaning to take from this final section is that the Buddha emphasized the teachings on cause and effect rather than emphasizing directions that homes should face and auspicious dates and so forth. So our focus in terms of the results we want to experience, we should focus on accumulating those causes. And when things are not going our way, we should recognize this is the ripening of past non-virtuous karma, not look to things like dates and directions. And in particular, we should focus on accumulating the causes that lead to rebirth in higher realms and avoiding those causes that will lead to rebirth in the lower realms. Through hearing and reflecting well on this presentation on cause and effect, then the outcome should be that one is very focused on one's way of thinking, ensuring that it is in accordance with this presentation, and that one's mind is not under the influence of afflictions and certainly not our speech and behavior. In this way, avoiding non-virtue and accumulating extensive virtue. Even though one may well be training in this way, one will still make errors and sometimes accumulate non-virtue, as well as having a store of non-virtue on one's continuum accumulated in lives previous to this. So with that in mind comes the next presentation, how to purify non-virtue by means of the four opponent powers.
Mbame bada nyomo ba mawa la sobe wangi nyeba chuna nji minyam bar shadu mirung wees dunba tuje chenji chirjue pike tapsung ba namla bebar bekwe soos.
So continuing on page 144, I just changed just one word. Even though you try to avoid being tainted by faulty conduct, some fault may occur under the influence of non-conscientiousness or a multitude of mental afflictions. Do not ignore it. You must make an effort to engage in the means for rectifying it as taught by the compassionate teacher. Infractions against one's vows should be rectified as is taught according to each of the three types of vows, while bad actions should be rectified by means of the four powers.
You know,
the outcome of our training thus far should be that, look in the first sentence, one tries to avoid being tainted by faulty conduct, and one should be striving to engage in virtue. But as trainees, then we will still, and continuing, some faults may occur under the influence either of a lack of conscientiousness, so where this virtuous mental factor of conscientiousness kind of one's a moral guide or ethical guide, if that is either lacking, or one is overwhelmed by a multitude of mental afflictions, either they're strong or overwhelmed one in some way, then non-virtue may well be accumulated. So here it is important not to ignore it. Do not think it does not matter that from time to time I may do some non-virtue, it doesn't matter. One needs to address it. As it continues, you must make an effort to engage in the means for rectifying it, as taught by the compassionate teacher. While striving in virtue, one will occasionally accrue non-virtue. Then do not ignore it, but rather strive to rectify it, to purify what has been accumulated, and not to repeat this. So how to do so? You must make an effort to engage in the means for rectifying it as taught by the compassionate teacher. So the Buddha taught, if we divide non-virtues into two, those of downfalls and non-virtues, looking first at downfalls, infractions against one's vows should be rectified as is taught according to each of the three types of vows. So if it's the Pratimoksha vows, the vows of the ordained, then these need to be purified in a particular way. Or if it's the Bodhisattva vows, then these need to be purified in terms of their particular ritual. And likewise, in terms of the vows of secret mantra, these two also need to be purified in accordance with their rituals. So when one commits an infraction of a downfall, then it needs to be purified in accordance with the specific ritual taught in relation to the class of vow.
And then you get to diva. Diva chirje vasya de chirje vasya de tupshi chao was yinbo tupshi kone ane shao re eses.
And then not downfalls, but non-virtue, while bad actions should be rectified by means of the four powers. Those four opponent powers are the power of remorse or regret, the power of the antidote, the power of the promise, and the power of promise or the power of restraint, and then fourthly, the power of the support or the basis.
Toma meba ne migawa chebala njoba mawa indies di chewala nemin soye jebu sumki ne jebu sumki su gom su gom kwe soos ne din maache dine lale nye tse sirwe dambe shaba dan sangye sangye sungwe kone shaba niki chawos.
Looking at the first of the four opponent powers, the power of remorse or regret. The first of the four powers is the power of remorse, which is to have great regret for the non-virtuous deeds one has done since beginning this time. For it to arise, one needs to meditate on how the three types of effects, such as fully ripened effects, are produced. When applying this power, use the two confessions, the confession in the Golden Light Sutra and the confession to the 35 Buddhas. What is the power of remorse? And as it says, the first of the four powers is the power of remorse, which is to have great regret for the non-virtuous deeds one has done since beginningless time. So it is this mind of regret, and it is the most important opponent power. It needs to be cultivated sincerely, then the others will naturally follow. The text continues, for it to arise, so the power of remorse, one needs to meditate on the three types of effects, such as fully ripened effects, are produced. So here, one recalls specific non-virtues that one has done, and being aware that it by it being non-virtuous, should it ripen at the time of death as a propelling imprint, necessarily rebirth in one of the lower realms will follow. So here, one reminds oneself of the three lower realms and their respective sufferings, the sufferings that beings are experiencing now in the animal realms, in the spirit realms, in the hell realms, and recognize that this non-virtue that one has accumulated, should it happen to ripen, it will ripen in one of those realms. And this then leads to a strong degree of remorse for the non-virtue accumulated. And this will come about independence on one's prior meditations earlier on the sufferings of the lower realms, as well as on karma itself. So in this way, one will generate sincere regret for what one has done, having this thought, I wish I had never done that.
Sanji Songu Kone, Shavan Yi, Niji Jawa, Sidu, the Lalin says it, Nimbu Timbi Kapla, or the Diva Shavi Kapla, Kanishi or Sine, Savi Timbeto, Duenje, and it Duenda, Diva Shaya, Dana di Duenda, and Sanji Sumju Songalia, Sanji Sumju Songal, Cha Seje, Undusine, Jeva Jene, and Diva Shadi, Jevore, Lalin, he said that, knew that you were ma, the Gasori, Nimbu took you home, my Chagor, and you. तो शिनाने ही ने निम्बन ट्रेवारे चेसा दी इतु कानो सुन दी ने दा काजेले दिवा शाबे का लालन से दी दिवा शाबे कब ला कने शाओ रे से ने सेवे दें बी दो दें ची दो शे शाया दा सांयु सुम्जु सोंग लिया ने सो सो दिप ची ची दो सुन सुम दो दें ची पा अन जे पा जे ने ओ दे शाओ रे शाओ शाओ नी जाओ दे ने शाओ रे से सुन
And it concludes with, when applying this power, use the two confessions, a confession in the Golden Light Sutra and a confession to the 35 Buddhas. So the confession to the 35 Buddhas and Golden Light Sutra, these are also included within the power of the antidotes, which is about to come. But in the recitation of this practice, it serves also to generate regret, referencing non-virtues that one has done. So when one utilizes one of these practices, it can serve to stimulate regret as well as then be the power of the antidote. But what's important is that one does give rise to genuine regret for what one has done, because that regret leads to the subsequent antidotes being so much more forceful and genuine.
So
the second of the four powers, the power of the fully applying the antidotes. This is 6 points. Relying, and I've just changed the translation again a little, relying on the profound sutras, resolute faith in emptiness, relying on recitation, relying on images, relying on making offerings, and relying on names. When one recalls non-virtue that one has done, particularly in the way described where one is aware of the ripening results that await one, one will naturally want to confess and purify so that one does not suffer in the way that one will otherwise. And therefore, one may choose to recite sutras such as those mentioned above, the Golden Light Sutra, or the practice of the confession to the 35 Buddhas, so as to purify these past misdeeds.
이네 동반이라 몇 바시데 띵진 제외 주에 삼다시 한 것도 동반이 거 띵네게 삼다 코마데라다 동반이라 몇 바세데 제사단 디바이 다에 돈달에 띵네 코마 돈이를 미데 어두시 코마라 소바 제바이나 내 디바다야 탑람 찍티네 해서
The second would be that so believing in emptiness, but it's more, it's a stronger translation required, like resolute faith in emptiness, but it comes down to meditating on emptiness. The third was that of relying on recitation. So here one would specifically think of a mantra recitation such as that of Vajrasattva, reciting the 100-syllable mantra as an opponent power to purify past misdeeds. Relying on images, this would be as a means of purification, either making images of the Buddha oneself or commissioning them to be made. And offerings then to the Buddhas, to one's Yidam, and so forth. The last was that of name mantras, relying on names. So yeah, one could recite name mantras, such as the name mantra of Buddha Shakyamuni.
So this
post process of applying an antidote necessarily needs to follow having generated regret, not having recognized our mind and perhaps our behavior went in the wrong direction. Now we try to rectify it by turning our mind intentionally in a wholesome direction, and we do so by applying an antidotal power that one is drawn to.
So
just briefly covered the six there. Now the text presents them one by one. Relying on the profound sutras, the first is to hear the words of collections of sutras, like the Perfection of Wisdom sutras, retain them, read them, and so forth. So in other words, to read sutras, in particular that's those on the view of emptiness, the Perfection of Wisdom sutras, read them or hear them being read or memorize them, teach them, listen to teachings on them, praise them, and so forth. This can all be done as an antidotal power and thereby used to purify.
So
we see here, in terms of relying on the profound sutras, it's presented in a quite a wide or broad manner, in that if one oneself has the capacity to put these sutras to memory with an understanding of the meaning, excellent, one should do so. If that is beyond one's capacity or time capacity or intellectual capacity, then one should read them. But if that is beyond, either one can't read them or one lacks the time or lacks the ability to read, then one can sponsor someone else to read them and you perhaps offer them lunch and so forth. So there are a variety of ways that one can purify by means of the profound sutras. So the Tibetan here is literally to take the words and to hold the words, which then how it's translated is fine, but it shows that they are taking the words or holding the words. You can take them to memory, you can reflect on them, or you can recite them. So these those words aren't used specifically. What is literally used is taking and holding.
Mm-hmm. 那就是冬夜来没法说的,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是,但是
consciousness and luminous reality and to trust in primordial purity. The translation resolute faith in emptiness is probably the best. So the second is to enter into selflessness and luminous reality and to trust in primordial purity. So what this means is that one meditates on selflessness, that all phenomena, whether the self or any other phenomenon, is empty of existing by way of its own inherent nature. It does not exist in the way that it appears, but it is empty of existing in the way that it appears. So this is the meditation on selflessness, and it, when it comes to the luminous reality, or you could say the ultimate reality, it's literally we normally translate it as the clear light, reality of clear light, something like that, so luminous reality. So Geshe is saying what it comes down to is the final way of being is that phenomena are empty of existing by way of their own nature, and to trust in primordial purity. So this means to have a deep felt trust based on one's knowledge and reasoning that phenomena have always been empty of existing by way of their own nature. It's not that they once did and now don't. They never have existed in this way. And so having the deep trust that the very ultimate nature of phenomena is that they lack in inherent existence. The next is relying on recitation. The third is to recite special dharanis, like the 100-syllable mantra, in accordance with the appropriate rituals. So this is referring to the 100-syllable Vajrasattva mantra. Do it in accordance with one of the sadhanas. But it doesn't necessarily mean it can only be the Vajrasattva mantra, that is just what is referred to here, but that one with a deep trust and faith, one engages in such a practice. Lama Tsongkhapa then quotes the verses on the questions of Subhuru Tantra. As when the flames of forest fires flare up in spring, uncontained, burn all the underbrush, so the wind of ethical conduct fans the fires of recitation, burning up bad deeds with flames of great joyous effort. As when the sun's rays strike the snow, it cannot withstand the brilliance and melts. So when the sun rays of ethical conduct and recitation strike the snows of negative actions, they evaporate. As when lighting a butter lamp in pitch darkness dispels all the darkness with none remaining, so the darkness of bad deeds accumulated in a thousand lives is quickly dispelled by the lamp of recitation. In Australia, this analogy we see at the beginning, we all too familiar with, as when the flames of forest fires flare up in spring, uncontained, burn all the underbrush. So this is something we all have experience of observing. The analogy is then applied to purification. So the wind of ethical conduct fans the fires of recitation, burning up bad deeds with flames of great joyous effort. So the wind of ethical conduct. So ethical conduct refers to having reflected on one's conduct, one's behavior, and recognized when it has transgressed the bounds of what is ethical, thereby regret arising. So ethical conduct means one has recognized when one has acted unethically, and therefore regret has been generated. Now, with this basis of regret, then one engages in recitation. So recitation without regret, just merely reciting, for example, the mantras, merely reciting mantras, it's not going to do very much. But when it's fanned by the ethical restraint of regret, then one's recitation will burn up a lot of non-virtue. In particular, then, burning up deeds with flames of great joyous perseverance. When one's ethics and recitation is conjoined with joyous perseverance, then the mind is much more determined, much more focused, much more powerful. Therefore, one will burn up far more non-virtue. So you have not merely recitation, but recitation that arises on the basis of regret and that is fanned by joyous perseverance. The first illustration is very apt to where we live. The second, a little less so, but still the meaning is similar. As when the sun's rays strike the snow, it cannot withstand the brilliance and melts.
So when
the sun rays of ethical conduct and recitation strike the snows of negative actions, they evaporate. Again, the key point being made is that recitation on its own is insufficient. You need to generate regret. And this comes with the understanding of what is ethical and what has transgressed the boundaries of what is ethical. Then, with such regret, one's recitation will purify past misdeeds. There's a third analogy. As when lighting a butter lamp in pitch darkness dispels all the darkness with none remaining, so the darkness of bad deeds accumulated in 1,000 lives is quickly dispelled by the lamp of recitation. And whilst there's no explicit reference here to ethics and joyous perseverance, these would be included. So when one recites, it's on the basis of regret and knowing what is ethical and what is not, and doing so with enthusiasm. So whether one relates better to the illustration of a bushfire or sunlight melting snow or the butter lamp clearing darkness, the meaning of the three illustrations is the same. That firstly, one has to have a wish to keep one's ethics well. If one doesn't care about ethics, if one doesn't see it as important, one won't regret. So it's unlikely one will engage in any kind of recitation. And even if one did, one would do so without any intensity and without much purification going on at all. One's mind is likely to be distracted. And in fact, one may even have a non-virtuous mind, thinking how wonderful you are and doing all these recitations. But actually, in terms of having an ethical mind of regret, and then reciting with joyous perseverance, this would be completely lacking. One merely does a recitation. And therefore, one puts some time and energy into it, but achieves very little. So therefore, the foundation is to be ethical, to recognize when one transgresses the bounds of what is ethical, and then to do something about it. And whilst purifying, to do so with joy, with enthusiasm, recognizing that one, through this process, is transforming one's future trajectory. This should give one joy and enthusiasm.
And in him, and here on that, Karesne, Diva Dabigi, Sama, Taru, Majum Badu, and a Dinigi, not Dini, Diva Shagi, not Diva Chokores, or that just Chige, Dinna, Samshashan, Dini, Diva Tatu Marches, and that.
So Christian people all too often ask, how long do I need to purify what I've done? And here then Lama Tsongkhapa presents a summary of signs that indicate whether one is perhaps experiencing success in one's purification.
On that the Nigi and Jugi Dipataya to Saj do Chesai and the Tasan Karayumuri Sene, then Yilam Chidan Yilam Ye Dimitin be Pere, in a that the Nigi, not Tasan Tayaji Ungore, Chidan the Karayumur Sene, Yilam Lea, the Nigi, and Milam the Sengan Jubas, Shoda or Maso Tunga, Jubalas of Ungurich, then the Kala Pedin, Jubalas of Sengan Baduchin, Jubalas of Pada, the Nigi, you are yours, and the Anti Shotunga. And the Gelonda, Gelome, Gidin, Tomata, Gelonda, Geloma, La Sopa, Gindu, Java, La Sopata. In a homogen, we sing down, said him, Langbo down, Chusho down, Ji down, Sengi, Zig, Sengi, Titan, and then Kansangi, Tendu, Java, Sengi, Chigala, down to Tendi, Shuchigala, Jabata, Kambo, Yakuka, Kanglia, Tatiba, La Sopata, and the Nigi, Langbochi, Chuchila, so Toya, La Sopa, in the Ungres, Tizone, Dabi, Taris.
这段时间去年吧，去年呀，那说吧，但那没什么去年吧的，我就因为今年用过的，今年用完呢，那今年给提不到，给打，打算着今年再用过的再去，我都是加上马老师的多。So looking at the text, Lama Tsongkhapa writes, you should continue this recitation practice until you see signs that your bad deeds have been purified. In the Dharani of the goddess Chandra, the signs are said to be, and again, to a few changes to the translation, the signs are said to be dreaming of vomiting harmful food, drinking and vomiting things like yogurt or milk, seeing the sun and moon, flying in the sky, seeing a burning fire, subduing a buffalo or black-clothed people, seeing a Sangha fully ordained monks and nuns, climbing a tree from which milk emerges, then climbing upon an elephant, a bull, a mountain, a lion throne, or a palace, and hearing the Dharma. So these then are 15 signs mentioned in this text. Further antidotes suggested, the fourth is to create images of Buddha having gained faith in him. So this can either be where one creates images oneself, such as asatas, or maybe sponsors an image to be commissioned or contributes to an image being commissioned, or maybe purchases a statue. So these are different ways that one can engage in purification, but there we see clearly it's stating this is needing to be done with faith. A mere act of making a purchase is insufficient. This needs to be an antidote to power based in faith following regret. The fifth is as making offerings, so relying on making offerings. The fifth is to make various types of offerings to the Buddha and his stupas. And the last illustration of an antidote given is relying on names. The sixth is to listen to and retain the names of the Buddhas and the great bodhisattvas.
And Didani, that is what Garson was in Labdusu, Musu Junwa, Zamde, Shanya Mangos, Sisan Disu Sheva, but Labdunalia, and then the Sun Yores, Dima Sun Shuvares, Sisan Dile, Tigmar, the Mangutam, Mangu Yores, or that.
Lama Tsongkhap then concludes with quoting his source. These are the practices that are explicitly mentioned in the compendium of trainings, but there are many others. So this is just, these should be taken just as an illustration. It's not that it's these practices and these alone that lead to purification. That's not the case at all. Because in fact, any virtuous activity can serve as an antidote if it's done in this context. So one can meditate on bodhicitta, one can generate definite emergence. And when it's done as an antidotal power following regret, then it serves as purification for past misdeeds. Then the third of the four opponent powers, the power of turning away from further faults, or normally called the power of restraint. The third of the four powers is the power of turning away from faults in the future, which is to completely resist or refrain from committing the 10 non-virtues. San Essen Sutra says that this destroys the karma of the three doors accumulated through killing and so on. Everything you have done, cause others to do, or rejoice in being done, as well as the afflictive obscurations and obscurations to the Dharma. So this is the actual mind of restraint, or very literally is the mind of vows. So it's the mind that binds one to virtue. This particular antidotal power is this, the mind of restraint, what binds one to virtue. Just reading the part about from the sutra again. The sutra says that this destroys the karma of the three doors accumulated through killing and so forth, so the variety of non-virtues that you have done, cause others to do or rejoice in being done, as well as afflictive obscurations and obscurations to the Dharma, which means obscurations that have arisen from abandoning the Dharma. So all of this can be purified with sincere turning away from non-virtues, sincere restraint to never again engage in such non-virtuous actions. And again, this follows from having generated regret. Then it can purify significantly.
And then you dub the long jambro down and a chanju semdi gesungore, then you dub his or jambro down, chanju semdi. Chidadin had made me did love you, then you dub said it, dub she or what, that's a thing you dub said the caruco, dilome, chisangi shigor, that thing you dub said it, jambro down and the chanju semdi gesungore.
And
the thing you dub, yes.
The, power of reliance, or the power of support is maybe better, is that of refuge and bodhicitta.
Then dengi topsiya de, dene nyembu kundu chibi topi. Dene tamadila, hane nyabalar topa topsiya de, dursin da samdari duana.
As our time is for this week is nearing an end, I'll just briefly summarize these four opponent powers. Because they're presented here in a specific order. One, in practice, can engage in them in any sequence one chooses. The sequence is not set. But most probably one will start with regret as the first opponent power. Because here one is engaging in a process of purification. So one needs to identify what it is that one wants to purify. So one recalls non-virtue that one has done, perhaps today, perhaps recently, or something that one has done regularly, or if it's not even something one is recalling, but no, in all likelihood, I will have done. One recalls non-virtues and then reflects on the karmic results that will follow from these. The cause is accumulated, the result will follow, unless I do something about it, unless I purify sufficiently. So here one generates, first recalls past non-virtue, and then generates regret, thinking about the negative consequences for it. Those negative consequences, you look at it through the lens of suffering for myself in lives to come, or the suffering I caused to others as well. So in this way, one generates sincere regret, this genuine thought of, I wish I had not done that. Then one can move into the second opponent power, which may well be that of support, or as translated here as the power of reliance. Support in that one's very support in one's purification practice is that of refuge and bodhicitta. These are the minds that support one in this practice. So the mind of refuge, here one turns one's mind to refuge in the three jewels, recognizing that the Buddha and the Sangha jewel, these are our example and our companions, and I commit to acting in accordance with their example by cultivating the Dharma jewel within and acting in accordance with the Dharma jewel. So one goes for heartfelt refuge, committing to act in accordance with the three jewels. And doing so, not just for one's own spiritual development, but for the sake of all suffering mother sentient beings. So here one starts to generate bodhicitta, recognizing that in order to benefit beings, I have to purify my mind. I need to remove my mind, taints from my mind stream, so that I can be of more benefit to others. So here the support of refuge and bodhicitta supports one in the purification practice. Then one can move into that of the antidote, the third, recognizing now I'm going to engage in the cultivation of an antidote so that I can remove these obstacles from my continuum and ensure thereby, through the strengthening habituation to virtue, I do not engage in similar behavior again. So I'm now going to purify. And then one can engage in any antidotal power, maybe a particular object of meditation, or maybe making offerings, or maybe doing Vajrasattva recitation, whatever one chooses. And then finally, the power of restraint, or the promise, where one says, makes the commitment, not only do I wish I'd never done that, I will never do it again. I may have an inclination to do these kinds of harmful things, but I will not follow through on it. I will refrain from such non-virtue again. And one makes this commitment, this promise. So in this way, one can engage in the meditation on the four opponent powers. This is important, and I really encourage people to engage in this purification practice. And again, the sequence is flexible. It's up to you, but one generally will start with regret. And it is, and regret is indispensable for the purification process to happen. One needs to generally regret what one has done, not see it as acceptable, not to justify it. So this is important. Then one will often turn to the support for one's practice, refuge and bodhicitta, thereafter into whichever antidotal power one feels inclined to. And then finally, the actual mind of ethical conduct, or mind of ethical restraint, which is the restraint from non-virtue, the restraint from doing this again. If your daily commitments have become a bit of a recitation and not too much more, then I encourage you to transform the way you do your daily commitments in the following way. First, sit down, generate regret for past non-virtues, so call something to mind, and generate genuine regret for it in the way advised. Then go for refuge and generate bodhicitta, taking a few moments to do so. And then, as your antidotal power, engage in the recitation of your commitments. And finally, after you've recited your commitments, then make the ethical mind of restraint, making the determination, I will not engage in such non-virtue again, and then finally dedicate. So the way I've just described the purification practice only takes a little longer than what you already do in terms of your commitments. But what you are adding is a regret at the start, and then spending a bit of time on refuge and bodhicitta, which is essential. The purification will be your recitation, but now it is supported by refuge and bodhicitta. And then at the end, you conclude with the mind of restraint, which is the mind of ethics. So this too is intentionally cultivated. And finally, your dedication. So in this way, you can combine purification practice with your already existing daily commitments. It's not a large additional amount, just a few additional minutes. And in this way, that time you spend doing your daily commitments will be far more productive. to summarize what we've looked at this weekend in our presentation on cause and effect, is that happiness comes from virtue, and suffering comes from non-virtue. This simple statement that no one will disagree with, this we need to recognize to the extent that we are drawn to virtue and we are repulsed by non-virtue. The very thought of following the afflictions leads to an arisal of aversion. This is the mind of ethics, restraining us, protecting us from non-virtue. This is the extent to which we need to reflect on this topic. Also, we looked at the need and the great benefit in recognizing that because causes lead to effects, or effects follow from causes, they are dependent arisings. And as they are dependent arisings, they are empty of inherent existence. And I spoke about that at some length. And then lastly, that despite our best efforts to refrain from non-virtue, non-virtue is still accumulated from time to time. Moreover, we have a large store of non-virtue on our continuum. Therefore, purification is essential for all of us. I engage in it and encourage you to engage in heartfelt purification on a daily basis in the way that's been described. So this then, in brief, is what we've looked at this weekend. Okay, then thank you. Thank you all very much.